The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, 818. Our show is powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Aerosmith's a band from Tim Corbin's neck of the woods, I think. Corbs joins us now as Vanderbilt gets ready to play Missouri this weekend, start of a three-game series tonight over at Hawkins Field. Tim, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Kevin.
Austin Martin is hitting 431, and this is the second week of May. I know you encourage those guys to kind of keep notes during the season. If you looked into his notebook, what do you think you might find?
So he hit the ball.
That's interesting. It depends, I guess. But I think from a baseball perspective, he's a sponge. He picks up a lot of different things, and he talks about the game a great deal. It's really important to him. You can tell, I think, this is a little bit off the subject, but it's on. I can see his academic track really, really move in a forward trajectory, which leads me to believe that, you know, his learning skills and his ability to listen, his ability to comprehend and put in into place has been furthered since he's been here. But I just think he's a baseball rat. He loves it. He's a junkie, so he writes a lot in his notebook. He does.
A really good story in the Tennessean about Ethan Paul and his humble nature. How do you think playing a couple years at second base helped him have, you know, such a good year at shortstop this time around?
Well, he's always been a shortstop, so to move him over to second base was kind of a change for him. And, you know, I didn't purposely give him the shortstop position right away because I wanted to audition a couple other guys. Plus, when you have competition like that, it keeps people healthy, even a guy like Ethan. But I think he's always been a little bit of a quarterback on the field. You know, he and Kaiser had such a good relationship last year at second and short. Now he's taken ownership of that position, and he's really maybe one of the best communicators we've had, you know, at that position. He puts everyone in their spots. He speaks a lot. He anticipates well. And it's just to watch that growth. He's a very intelligent kid. I mean, this guy's a Dean's List student every year he's been here. So this is a guy that is a high performer intellectually as well as on the baseball field. So he's just been fun to watch grow. He's a heck of a little shortstop.
Yeah, I asked Joe Fisher about this the other day. What sort of impact does a win over Louisville have on your national standing? You know, when you look at your season and what's ahead?
Well, I'm sure it does. From an RPI standpoint, anytime you go on the road and you play a high RPI team, it stands to help you. I think from a team standpoint, that was a very good win for us from the standpoint of how we did it and how the game was, it felt like an Omaha game. It had that type of feeling to it. There was a lot of stimuli there in terms of the FedEx jets going over the top. You had trains going on in the outfield, a lot of noise. It was just a good atmosphere for baseball, and I thought we played well. There was just very few mistakes on the field for both sides. So we beat a good team. It's a very good team. We could see them again at some point, but I think it helped us internally too as a team.
Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, our guest. The Commodores play Missouri starting tonight.
Well, coach, now that school is out, does that impact your team in any form or fashion? You think, or it just something that just is routine?
We flipped the schedule a little bit, Lane. We get up a little bit earlier so we can lift weights in the morning and then train mid-afternoon. You know, right now, my only concern is the seniors because they have a lot of activity going on right now. We had a senior banquet last night. You got graduation this morning. We were up early, 6:30 for pictures this morning. So, you know, it's just a matter of, they got to get some rest in the afternoon, be ready for tonight. And this weekend's a little bit different for us because it's a 6:30 game, and then you get the two afternoon games, so it's a quick flip. So my biggest concern with all their families is that's not distractions, but it only becomes distractions if you allow it to. So and they're old enough now where I trust them, but those are my only concerns right now is that we've got enough rest to play these games.
Well, I know the tournament's right around the corner. Does your strategy as a coach, does it change any throughout this process?
Nope. I mean, it stays the same. I mean, just what we're doing is what we're doing, and we approach it the same way. We know we've got a very good team in here as far as pitching and offense, and they're playing very well, and they're very confident themselves. So, you know, they're the best team in the SEC right now, so that's the team we've got to beat.
Tim, how significant was A.J. Franklin's relief outing on Tuesday and the way that you look at your bullpen?
We were waiting for a pitcher to emerge, and Brownie and I both thought that he was the kid that it was going to happen to because He's an older kid. He's been in the program for a long period of time. He went 2 years without playing at all because he was redshirted. Then he came out the second year and he tore his ACL. It was really heartbreaking to watch him go down. So now it's like this kid who's worked so hard to just get into the program is now in the front end of a bullpen, and he's gaining confidence every time he touches the ball. And the thing about him is his spirit and his energy force is so strong with the team that he gets it back. So when he came out of the game the other day, the dugout exploded. And it just shows what you do when you immerse yourself in other people. And AJ does that. Local kids, so it's very gratifying to watch that end of it too. But it's great for our team because we needed someone like that to pop.
How are you processing how you're going to use Mason Hickman in the postseason? Because obviously he could be your number three starter, or he could help you in the bullpen, you know, short, medium, or long. So what are your thoughts on that as you start to approach, you know, that juncture of the season?
Right. Well, I think for the right now, he's the Tuesday pitcher, which we do have one more Tuesday game. And then after that, it just becomes postseason baseball. So his postseason spot, depending on the situation, would be, you know, a four starter. I think you have to plan it that way. If you go to a tournament, SEC tournament, then he's potentially the fourth starter. If you go beyond that, then he's the same thing. I think we just utilize him. But I know this is down the road, but if you see a situation where he can help you and you know you can finish up a game, then he becomes that piece. But right now, because he already pitched against Louisville, then he sits in the Tuesday hole again moving forward.
You hear from coaches that they're tougher on their teams when they're winning as opposed to when they're losing. You're on this great winning streak. How do you handle that?
Really the same. I don't think anything. I don't go into anything with a predicted mindset in terms of how I'm going to treat a team. I just try to really stay on course. And when you got an older team, Mark, like this, it's almost like you're trying to find ways to remove yourself from what they're doing. I like the setup piece. I like setting them up in the classroom, and that's why we went to it, because it's a very predictable area where I talk to them. But once we get to the field, it becomes theirs. I know a lot of coaches get down, they have their pregame messages. I just don't want to mess with them once they get to the field. I think that's their space. They take ownership of it, and you would just empower them to say, this is our game. We're going to dictate how it goes. And I feel that way with signage. I feel that way in terms of the offensive piece. I know there's certain pieces where I say, okay, I've got to call something here. But in most cases, you release the opportunity to them because they deserve it. They put themselves in that position to earn that right. And I love doing that for them.
Tim, Missouri's throwing two good left-handers tonight and tomorrow. How have your good lefty bats been able to have success, you know, against left-handers when you've been in that spot this year?
You know, for some of them, it doesn't make much of a difference. You know, like a Phil Clark, he seems to, the ball for him, it's just coming from the center of the field. So whether it's right or left, he seems to sit in there very well. And I think because we've been exposed to a lot of left-handed pitching, we've had a lot of good experiences that way. And guys who might have not been as proficient against lefties are now becoming more proficient. So this is going to be tough because these lefties are a little bit different. This reminds me of Texas A&M. So I know this is going to be quite a challenge, but I think at the same time, this is what we need. We need a continuation of experiences before we start getting deeper into the season. And this will be a nice matchup for us in a lot of different ways. They're pretty good offensively, too, now. I think the fact that we played Louisville the other night, they had already stolen 88 bases. This team's already stolen 100. So this is a big physical team that can really move. So we're going to have to slow them down that way as well.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend. We'll let you roll.
I always appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay, have a good one. It's Vanderbilt head coach Tim Corbin. His team opens up a series against Missouri at Hawkins Field. Vanderbilt leading the SEC with 2 weekends to go in conference play.